Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon, and it's PGA Championship week. So we asked Brian Anderson of TNT, leading the coverage there, to jump on and chat a little bit about the week and Bethpage Black and the conditions. And he was great. Of course, BA's been doing all of the sports throughout the year for TNT and Turner, and he's switching over to golf, which is a sport he's broadcasted for many, many years and does a great job. So great chat with BA. I do want to read this quote about Bethpage Black from A.W. Tillinghast, because it's one of my favorites. He said, quote, "Every now and again throughout the country, there are to be encountered courses that snarl like a saber-toothed tiger." And it'll be interesting to see this week if the course actually snarls, because it seems to be a little bit more wet. The rough seems a little more inconsistent. And of course, not nearly as deep and gnarly as you'll see at a typical U.S. Open. But it's going to be fun to watch, because Bethpage Black is a place that'll beat you up if you are in the wrong spots, of course, as we've seen at U.S. Opens in the past. And we'll see. We'll see how it plays, considering the conditions that we know it's going to be, because it might be a little bit different of a Bethpage Black. But still, that is such a great quote. A saber-toothed tiger, snarl like a tiger. I love that. A.W., very much ahead of his time. This week's podcast, of course, is brought to you by Titleist. And this week, the Vokey Design SM7 Wedges. They're designed by master craftsman and one of the coolest men in all of golf, Bob Vokey, to improve your wedge play. SM7 innovations provide the best performance and distance control, shot versatility, and maximum spin. And the best way to experience the SM7 wedges is to hit every grind side-by-side during a wedge fitting. And you can find the nearest fitting location on Vokey.com. That's Vokey.com. Or you can use the online wedge selector tool to find the right loft, bounce, and grind for your wedges. Your wedges probably need replacing. Trust me. I see so many golfers out there that have the brand new driver and new three wood and irons and a putter they switch every week, and their wedges are like grooveless. Change your wedges, people. You need to do it. And if you're going to change wedges, make sure you get the new Vokeys. They're unbelievable. Best wedges out there by far. And get fit. Vokey.com. Get the right grind, the right bounce for your golf course, for your area in the country or elsewhere, and you will be delighted when those bad boys show up in the mail. That, of course, from Bob Vokey, who, as I mentioned, is just so cool. It's actually, you're around him, and you walk away, and you feel inferior in coolness because of just how smooth the man is. If you haven't checked on social media, I just wanted to talk a couple of minutes about it. I had my local qualifying for the U.S. Open on Monday, actually at my home course, Phoenix Country Club, which was a bonus. It was a little bit of a slow start. I did get on the first tee. One of the guys I was playing with, a young kid, really nice kid, great player, his name was Alex Trevino. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can't go a hole without asking this guy, Trevino, come on. And so, of course, he was not related. I get the Bacon questions a lot, but I was very excited about that. Trevino is a last name, and you're trying to be a professional golfer. That is just incredible. But I got through. I was one of five players to get through the local qualifying. First time I've ever done it. I said this on social media, I probably played 8 or 9 locals kind of throughout my years, maybe more, maybe less. Like, I don't really know the exact numbers. I've been close a couple of times. I've shot 71 and 70s, but it was a little bit of a slow start. I had to make about a 10-footer on the first hole, which is a very easy par 5, mind you, for par, and made that, and three-putted 3 for bogey, and got it back with a birdie on 5, and then immediately gave it away on 6 for bogey. So I was +1 and just kind of floating along. The golf course was playing tough. They had the greens rolling probably at 13 or 14 on the simp, to be honest with you, and they put all the hole locations in really, really tough areas. And 7 was kind of where I got it going. 7's a par 5, pitched in for eagle from about 30 yards off the green. So that got me to -1 and just never really turned back. Made a couple of birdies on the back 9, made some great par putts, and just had the putter going. As everybody knows, that's something you need in any golf event, much less a qualifier. And had a putt on 18 for 67 from about 15 feet and just missed low. And I get in, and of course I'm sitting there, as everybody that plays in qualifiers know, you tend to be pessimistic, and I was sitting there going, God, if that putt comes back to haunt me, I'll be really bummed out. But I thought 3 was going to be close, and it turned out it was. There was 3 67s and a couple of 68s, including myself, and those were the 5 that got through. So sectional qualifying, I got in the Dallas event next Monday. We have the Senior Women's Open, the second year of this event, this weekend on FS1. So set your DVRs. I know the PGA Championship's going to be going on, but set your DVRs. Julie Inkster's going for history. Of course, she's a part of our coverage. Morgan Pressel's going to be in the booth with Brad Faxon and myself. I will be hurrying out of the booth on Sunday night, flying straight to Dallas. No practice rounds. Who needs practice rounds, for goodness sakes? I'm playing the course blind. But just being a part of that day, 36 holes, I got a buddy of mine that's going to drive up. I think my parents are going to come up from East Texas and watch. But it's just cool. Honestly, you do these things and you hope one day that you can just say you got through, especially kind of in the position I'm in with being a part of the broadcast team for the U.S. Open. So it was a special moment for me, and I appreciate all the messages you people out there sent me either on Twitter or Instagram or even text. I got a lot of those types. It wasn't Max Homa level. I didn't get like 500 messages from people. And I wouldn't expect that. But, you know, accomplishing anything in golf is why we play. I mean, even if it's breaking a number you've never broken, or if it's, you know, a 9-hole stretch you've never played that way before, if it's a money game that you do something silly in, winning a skin for the first time, all of these things are checklist items, you know, and that's why we tee it up. That's why we practice. That's why we grind. That's why we love golf. And I had a chance to accomplish something on Monday that I was very proud to do and very proud of. And it'll be something I remember for a long time. And the USGA gives you this little piece of paper that says, congratulations on the local qualifier. And that piece of paper will stay in my desk, I'm sure, for many a years to come, because who knows, they've always said trying to get through local qualifying is to try to catch lightning in a bottle. And I was lucky to be in the right place at the right time when the lightning struck. So I'll go on Monday. No real expectations. Just happy to be there. It'll be a lot of fun to just be a part of this experience going forward. And like I said, thanks so much to everybody for sending me nice messages, because it made the experience even better. Enough of me. I gave you as much of a play-by-play of a run of golf of mine as you'll ever hear. Hopefully you didn't fast forward through that whole thing. Let's get to some PGA Championship talk. As I mentioned, so many storylines. We've got Koepka trying to do something that's never been done before in back-to-back U.S. Opens and back-to-back PGAs. We've got Tiger trying to win two in a row. We've got Jordan Spieth on the outside looking in at a Grand Slam, and on down the list. So BA was great. He was at Bethpage. He's slogging through the nastiness that is a TV compound underwater. It is a really, really gross experience. If you've never seen a TV compound when rains have come through, it is muddy. There are rain boots on everyone's feet, and you're just trying to get to the golf cart so you can get out of there. But BA was kind enough to join us before his big week with Turner and with the PGA Championship, so let's go get to him now. And we welcome into the clubhouse for the first time Brian Anderson. He'll be leading the coverage for TNT this week at Bethpage Black. That'll kick off Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern. On TNT, that goes till 7, then 30 minutes longer on Friday. Then you guys get going at 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. on the weekends. And Brian, you're doing basketball, you're doing the NCAA tournament, now you're doing golf. They going to let you like take a vacation or something at the end of this? What's going on here?
Man, this is vacation. I'd be watching anyway, so it's nice to actually be getting paid to do it. But it's great. I mean, it's a really cool opportunity. With Turner, these last, I don't know, 11 years I've been with them, they have the rights to all these different sports, and they let me do them all. So I played all the sports growing up, and I love being a part of anything like this and all the different venues and all the different sports, whether it's NCAA or NBA playoffs or MLB postseason or this week the PGA Championship. So I'm ecstatic, man. It beats the Texas League, which is where I spent 9 years calling minor league baseball. So I'm all good.
Yeah, it's a little different than the Texas League. It is funny when you kind of look back on a broadcasting career like yourself. I mean, you were a part of Golf Channel coverage. You guys did, the Grand Slam of Golf for a number of years as that thing was around. I mean, golf is something that you've called throughout your career. It seems to kind of pop up here and there, even though it was a staple, I'd say, of an early part of your career. And I'm assuming it's something that you love getting to do, even if it's just once or twice a year.
Yeah, I do. I get energized by it. I know this because you've done it, you've done majors as well. But if you don't really love the sport and the prep of the sport, you can't be good at it. You have to enjoy diving in. And that means diving into the players, and that means the course and the architecture and all that is involved. And I love that. You know, I love that part of it. So whenever I do get a chance to do golf, and I've done the PGA Championship the last 5 years now with Turner. It just allows me to get back to what I feel are my roots. You know, I worked in the golf business, even as a minor league baseball broadcaster, in the off seasons of those baseball seasons. And I was a seasonal employee, so I had to go find work elsewhere. But I worked at a golf course and I helped run corporate tournaments. And, you know, at one point was going to go through the program and try to get my PAT. My career ended up going faster than I thought it was. So I didn't actually do that. But, you know, I was connected to the golf industry and the golf world. And really that experience working at a golf course and just kind of being around the sport while I was a minor league announcer, when the Golf Channel job came up, I had not called golf. I had not been a part of any golf coverage at that point in my life. And this is in my, you know, late 20s. That was the kind of the separator, like, well, we have all these guys that we like, but this guy's actually worked in the golf business. And, you know, I've got a brother who was a PGA professional, an aunt who played on the LPGA and is a master teacher. So that kind of put me over the hump, you know, that $7 an hour job actually is what a major breakthrough for my career, that I was able to leave minor league baseball, go do Golf Channel on the air 4 days a week for 25 weeks, covering a brand new tour at that time, a new sponsor in the Nationwide Tour. Now it's the web.com. But that was a really major breakthrough for me. And it's like I tell young announcers now and kids who are coming up, like, there's really no path, but you need to pursue everything as if it's the most important thing and enjoy that piece of it, the process of it, because you just never know what's going to turn into to be the spark that allows you to maybe get a job somewhere. And that certainly was it for me, being in the golf industry like I was and working so closely in golf really allowed me to kind of jump to that next level in broadcasting as a golf commentator.
Well, I want to get into the PGA Championship in a moment, but I wanted to ask you one kind of last piece on this transition for you. I was the reverse. I have done golf broadcasting, and this past year, Fox allowed me to do some college basketball games, and when they tipped off the first game I called, I just remember my mind nearly just blowing up with the speed of the calls and how fast everything was going. For you, is it the reverse? Does it take you a moment to slow it down a little bit coming off these big basketball games with these huge moments and these, you know, these euphoric calls? Now you've got to slow it down a little bit. Is there going to be a moment on Thursday where you go, all right, it's Thursday of the PGA. You know, I don't a 14-footer for par on four isn't a boom moment, you know, like a big basketball shot.
Right. Yeah, you have to definitely have to think about the scale, you know, the 1 to 10 calls. So most recently I called the Damian Lillard 37-footer to win the series.
So not a big moment at all.
That would have been my 11 call, right? Like, I don't have 10. I actually, my voice cracked a little bit because I was screaming as loud as I could. And that is not going to be an option here at the PGA Championship or any other golf tournament. But I do think, you know, for me, and having done all the golf that we did and what I call ambush golf on the Nationwide Tour back then, now web.com, but, you know, we were on the air for 3 hours a day, and you're really having to grind and push, and, you know, we went really fast. I don't know if you remember how we covered golf back then, but it was shot, shot, shot. I mean, we were covering as many swings, as many shots as we could, which was great training. So it doesn't feel slow to me. It does feel different. You're not watching an actual ball in play live with your own eyes. You're watching a bunch of balls in play on a monitor, right? And you're subject to the producer who is taking you down this creek bed, and you kind of have to be ready. So it's literally, you know, the one shot that comes up, okay, I've said, let's go to 17, here's Rory. Now I'm already kind of on the next one, knowing what may be coming next or what we're potentially going to be going to while the analysts have their discussion. So it's much different mechanically from a play-by-play perspective than any other sport, where play-by-play in basketball or baseball, you know, you're on the ball, you're on the play, and you're moving with that ball in play, as opposed to golf, where you're almost a step ahead. You know, you're kind of thinking on what's next, where am I going next, the next hole will be this, and you're queuing up your, I kind of run the computer myself, which has all the information. I'm just more comfortable doing it myself. So I'm already advancing, you know, the next hole, the next shot, the next player. So it doesn't feel slow to me. It feels fast, actually, even though the pace of it on as a viewer would be methodical and you're moving through slowly. But for me, I think, you know, kind of what I learned and the way I learned how to do it was to constantly be ahead of it. So then you do that for 7 hours, or in our case, a few years ago on the PGA.com side, which is what I used to do, we did a 12-hour show at Baltusrol. I mean, we were on at 8 a.m. We didn't leave until Jimmy Walker made that last putt at, you know, 7:58. And so at 12 hours, you know, you're like, whoa, where'd that go? I enjoy it. Like, I enjoy the one to the next to the next. And what's going to – why is a player making a decision here based on maybe what's behind him, or maybe what the leaderboard, or maybe having nothing to do with what's going on around him, but just he's locked into his game, and just kind of discovering and digging into all of that is really fascinating to me. So it actually moves really quickly for me when I do golf.
All right, to the PGA, and I hope he's listening to this. I'm sure he's not, for goodness sakes, but I'm going to lead with something that will make him very, very happy. Tell me, BA, why Brooks Koepka is not going to win the PGA Championship.
See, I'm not going to do that, but here's what I should do that, because I believe, and I've known a lot of athletes in other sports that need a chip on their shoulder to be successful, and I believe Brooks Koepka needs that chip. So, but I do think he will win the PGA Championship. He is the favorite for me, but if he doesn't win, it will be because he's just not able to overcome his great putter. And because I do think getting on the greens here at Bethpage, and I mean, there are pockets and there are some subtleties, and, you know, yes, it's going to be set up with major championship putting, but it's been raining a ton here in New York. And I do think those who can get to the green, there's going to be a little bit of an equalizer. So the great putters aren't going to be separated. I believe Koepka is a great putter, even though he comes at you with a lot of brawn, and he hits it as far as anyone. I mean, his whole game is great, but that's where he kind of separates himself in majors. I think he's steady, calm. So I do think there are going to be those who aren't putting well, or aren't necessarily statistically great putters, that maybe haven't been putting well, that are going to have a better chance this week at the PGA at Bethpage because of that. So maybe that would be the only thing I could think of, but I got no billboard material for Brooks Koepka because I live 15 minutes from Erin Hills. You were there, and what he did to that golf course, man, I'm just like, at that moment, I said, that's it. This guy he's the guy for me. He's the next star. I don't know if that's going to translate to the superstardom outside of the golf world. You know, he's never obviously going to get to Tiger Phil status. I don't think he's that kind of personality. I hope he doesn't chase being that kind of personality and have a brand and have people who are, you know, trying to advance his Q rating. I hope he doesn't go there. He may, but man, in the golf circuit, wow, he's as good as it gets right now. And he's doing things that very few have done, you know, including Tiger. And, you know, he's trying to win this PGA Championship, which would give him back-to-back U.S. Opens and back-to-back PGA Championships. He would hold both of those titles in back-to-back years, and he'd be the first to ever do that. So what he's doing is historical.
A quick break to tell you that, of course, golf's second major of the year is coming up. And even though the trophy is reserved for the winner, the big cash prizes don't have to be. With $50,000 up for grabs, there's no better time to try 1 week fantasy golf at DraftKings. Plus, when you enter code Clubhouse, you can play for free with your first deposit. 1 week fantasy golf at DraftKings is very easy to play. You just pick 6 golfers before the tournament tees off, then sit back and follow the action. The more red numbers you have on the leaderboard, the closer you'll be to winning some serious green. You can rack up points for birdies, finishing position, and much more. And DraftKings will also be running a huge fantasy golf millionaire contest where the top prize is, well, you guessed it, $1 million. So download the DraftKings app or go to DraftKings.com before tee off on Thursday, May 16th, and select your golfer and use that code Clubhouse at sign up to play free with your first deposit for $50,000 in prizes. That's code Clubhouse to play free with your first deposit only at DraftKings. All right, back to BA.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about this week a little bit. You know, if you think about a golf course and the player that best defines the golf course. So simply put, which golf course is the player or which player is the golf course? I feel like Bethpage Black is Brooks Koepka. You know, it's a big ballpark. It's meaty. It's strong. It'll beat you up. It is the type of course that, to me, literally is laid out for a guy like Koepka. No fear at all. He's going to hit driver around the place all day, even if he doesn't need to. And if he hits it in this rough, even though I know the rough has been a little bit more inconsistent than we've seen at other majors at different times of the year, he's still going to be able to hack it out of there. And I just feel coming in the way he played at Augusta, and then, of course, last week the way he played at Trinity Forest, it just seems like he's ready to do it again. And again, I think after Aaron Hills, as you mentioned, we were maybe waiting to see, all right, what's this kid going to be? And he's taken a step that we really haven't seen, as you mentioned, since Tiger Woods. And it's been crazy. So I just feel like he's the favorite going in, as you said. And then there's everybody else. And I'm not sure we've said that yet about Koepka. Maybe it's because it's more our fault in the media than it is his. But I don't feel like there's ever been a moment where this many people are talking about Koepka in this capacity, thinking he's got a great chance to win.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. I mean, I would also say that, you know, the thing about Bethpage, what makes it great is that it exposes every aspect of your game. Yes, it is big, and you hear that big ballpark phrase a lot, and I think that's true. But, you know, I think a lot of the venues that these guys are playing now, especially in major championships, the long hitter, if you hit it long and straight, obviously you're going to have an advantage. You know, guys like Dustin Johnson and Koepka, those guys all come to mind. And, you know, Ricky has a chance too. But I just feel like it's more than just his driving distance and ability and his power game. The rough is 3 inches here. You know, the PGA historically has not been afraid of birdies at all. I think they are happy to see a player go deep. I think the greens are going to be very receptive. So I feel like they are going to go lower here than what we've seen, what Bethpage showed in the U.S. Opens, right? I mean, in the U.S. Open in 02, the cut was 10 over. Tiger was the only one to make par that year in 02. He was 3 under. And then in 09, 4 under won it. But I do think it's going to play a little differently. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of birdies. 7 of the last 9 winners at the PGA Championship have been 10 under or lower. So Koepka went minus 16 last year at Belrive. And to me, that tells me the way they're going to set it up. And talking to Kerry Hague, who's the chief championships officer, I do believe that that's going to be – there's going to be birdies and there's going to be excitement. It's not going to be carnage. And so I don't know if it necessarily favors the power hitter. I think any time a power hitter is hitting in the fairway, he's going to have – an advantage. But I do think it kind of levels out because of the golf course and because of the elevation changes. And, you know, if you're in the rough, are you going to be able to control spin? Because it's going to be soft on the greens, maybe you can. So maybe it won't be as penal if you're off the fairway as it would be if you were in a U.S. Open setting. So I like the fact that I believe a lot of guys can win it. I'm not in the camp that thinks Tiger Woods is the favorite. I don't agree with that at all. I'm amazed at his story, and he is the headliner, regardless of Koepka's success. But I think there are just so many guys that could win this event. It's going to be a slog. Hopefully the weather's good. They're saying the weather's going to be great, but it's really soft, man. It's sand-based, and so it's a long walk. And it's going to be really soft. So I think that's going to be an interesting piece to the puzzle here. Minus John Daly, who will be trolling around in a golf cart.
Cart path only, John. Cart path only.
Yeah, CPO. Man.
Don't drive it on the golf course, for goodness sakes.
Don't put any logos on that cart either, man. I can't wait to see John.
Oh, it's unbelievable. You know, he's been driving it all year. I didn't even realize that on the Champions Tour. This is something, obviously, I haven't seen, but –
Yeah, golf cart at the PGA. We'll see how it goes. You mentioned Tiger. I wanted to get in Tiger a little bit. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but does it feel like Tiger, and dare I say this, is flying a little under the radar? I mean, we haven't seen him since Augusta. He didn't play in anything. We know he's been out there for I don't even know how long, playing practice rounds at Bethpage's. His boat's out there. All that stuff's been reported over and over again. But it almost feels like the buzz has quieted a little bit around the Tiger machine going into what could be back-to-back major titles.
Yeah, I mean, I don't sense that here, not New York, okay. Obviously. I mean, he's been here. He's been here. He was here all last week, and you're right. He hasn't made a start since Augusta, but I think, you know, he knows his game. He's 43. He knows what he's got to do. He knows his golf course. He's obviously won here, and he spent a lot of time here. We've had those viral Bigfoot, you know, videos showing up of Tiger walking across Round Swamp Road from 14 to 15, and so those are kind of cool. I mean, that's kind of funny. But he's been putting in his work here. And so I think, you know, the fact that he did what he did at Augusta, I mean, it has really set a tone and a headline. You know, he transcends golf, all those things you would always say about Tiger Woods, but he is the headliner. And I was with him last year. We had three of his four rounds we did on the .com coverage at Belrive. And, man, I hadn't seen that look from Tiger in a long time and certainly hadn't seen the kind of galleries that were surrounding him. I mean, there were, I would say, that 18th hole at Belrive, I bet there were 25,000 people around that hole alone with Tiger. It was amazing. I mean, it was amazing. I've never seen anything like it in any sport I've ever done. Just to see the volume of people, there are great images all over that you can look at from the PGA Championship last year in St. Louis, but he brings that huge, huge buzz here, and it's no different. That's why I think he wanted to come in early last week, get his work done, kind of had the place to himself. I know Mickelson was out here often as well, but, you know, I don't know if he'll buzz around. He certainly wasn't out here this morning. I'm not sure if he's going to be out here the rest, and as we do this, it's Tuesday morning, so I'm not sure what his practice schedule is going to be like the rest of the week. But I can guarantee you when he tees off Thursday, man, you will know where he is. And you can accommodate a lot of people. There's a lot of space around Bethpage. So he's the headliner, no doubt. No offense to Brooks Koepka or Jordan Spieth, that's the guy who's coming under the radar. You know, he's not playing well. But Spieth is the guy that, you know, you got to kind of sneaky pay attention to because he's still a PGA away from a Grand Slam. Like, he's 25, man, and he's got a Grand Slam in front of him. So every time he starts at the PGA for the rest of his career until he wins, if he wins, he's got a one leg left to the Grand Slam. And even though he's not playing well and hadn't made a top 20 yet, that's the one guy that if there's an under-the-radar person, he's the one for me because he's got history in front of him as well. And he was such a huge headline last year going into Belrive and didn't play well. So that's the one guy. He gets my underserved award at this point because he's on the, you know, can you imagine Sunday he makes a putt to win the PGA and he's won the Grand Slam and he's 25 and he's got all four majors already. Wow. What a story. Like, that's a story.
Yeah. It's funny. You mentioned Jordan. I mean, he has become the kind of forgotten name in golf. I mean, we talk about Koepka a lot. Of course, Rory's had a great year. You know, you're going to get these other names that kind of pop in and pop out. DJ doing what he does. JT, of course, I know he's not playing this week with the wrist injury, but I feel like there's these stories that continue. There's these young players that pop up now that win. And there's Jordan Spieth still on PGA Tour Live, you know, struggling with the putter or struggling with the driver. Right. And there's Jordan Spieth, you know, sneaking up in the leaderboard and then has kind of a weak third round. And it's almost been wild to watch because for 2 and 3 years on the PGA Tour, you know, when Tiger wasn't playing and Phil wasn't playing well, it was Spieth and everybody else. And now Jordan's a name that if you probably hadn't brought him up here, wouldn't have been mentioned on the podcast. And this is a guy, as you said, is going for history, just like Phil's going to be doing at the U.S. Open. And Phil's going to be the lead story when we get to Pebble. You know, that will be the story that drives the machine because of all that comes with that. And I feel like Spieth is forgotten. And I mean, it's because his golf game is just so far off. But I mean, if he found something this week, for goodness sakes, it would take over all of the headlines if he went out there and shot, you know, 66 or 65 on Thursday. I mean, people would be writing that story to death.
No question. I mean, and that is exactly why golf is great right now, because there are so many players, so many great players. And so I don't feel like it's a slight to a lot of players when they, you know, when they're not in the wheel, in the publicity wheel. I actually think it's because the tour especially, and then the European tour has great players. There are just a lot of players that could contend. We don't have this small pocket, you know, like my father's generation. He kind of had his favorites, right? You know, we're from Texas, you know, he loved Lee Trevino, but you kind of had that group, you know, and you had Palmer and Nicklaus and Trevino and then Watson eventually, but there was a pretty small group that you could kind of grab onto. And those were always the headliners, always the stars. And then, you know, then the Tiger era, of course, he was the story, and then it was everybody else. And it still can be that way at times, but man, there are just so many players now that can win and have their time in the wheel and in the public space. And Koepka's kind of there now, especially with all the talk that he's not getting enough publicity. I thought Rich Lerner had a great article on golfchannel.com. Just he's a great writer anyway, Rich, but he kind of hit it on the head. You know, I think Koepka definitely feels like he's being slighted in the sports world, not just the golf world, in the sports world. Made a strong case for him. But I do think Koepka wins here. You know, he's right back in. He's back in that, in the headline. Jordan Spieth can get back in the headline. Rory. I mean, I can just go down the list. Like, you know, I always make a list when I prep for golf. Okay, what are the, let's just go through and put in the top stories, right? And it's as long as I've ever had. Because I'm like going down the list. It's Tiger, Koepka, Rory, Ricky, still looking for his first. Spieth, the Grand Slam. DJ, the world's number one. Patrick Reed. My sleeper is Schauffele, Xander Schauffele. That's the one guy, like, I'm trying to sell hard because I believe in his game and what he's done. He finished second at the Masters. And JT had to withdraw, but Justin Rose is number two in the world. Frankie Moe, I mean, like, where does it end? I mean, these stories are tremendous for us as broadcasters and to televise the sport. Hopefully we can tell those stories well, but that doesn't even scratch the surface of all the guys that are playing well in Europe and, you know, guys that are having great success early season on the PGA Tour. So, man, I love it. I think it's great for the game to have these different hoppers of names. I do think a lot of the, I don't know, let's call it mainstream media. I don't really like that, but let's just say the casual sports fan maybe, they want somebody they can grasp onto, and that's fine. That's okay. There's a big difference between a golf crowd and a sports crowd. Sometimes they can intermix, but the golf crowd who follows the tour every week or follows professional golf, you've got your favorites. You know who your players are. You're going to be in no matter what. But it's those fans that come in, they tap in for majors or they tap in when golf's kind of hit the headlines because – all of the debate shows are now talking golf. And usually that starts with Tiger, right? So it's okay for them to come in and like tap in and say, well, what's interesting here? And it's up to us, you know, it's up to us this week. And it's up to you guys at the U.S. Open to try to tell as many of those stories as you can. And I think from a storytelling perspective, which is why we do this, and you're a writer too, like it's even more important for you, but man, this is glorious. This is a glorious time for us to have a canvas to tell a lot of these golf stories right now, because I don't think it's ever been better for me. I mean, is it for with as many guys and as many different stories to talk about each day? So it makes it easy for us to kind of line up our broadcast, and we can go in a ton of different directions with it.
Yeah, BA, I was going to ask, do you guys have a rule or is there a rule amongst the producers to show these club pros that make it? I mean, do you guys have – let's show them hit one shot throughout the first 2 days of broadcasting just because they were able to get to this point. I know obviously Ben Kern had such a great PGA last year, and he was actually messaging me last night. He's going to send me one of his Ben Kern hats. I was like, yeah, man, nice. Send me that bucket. But I mean, is that a thing you guys do? Do you guys make it a point to show some of these guys that got in possibly for their one moment at a major championship?
I think so. I mean, Ben's so interesting. You know, he's the head pro at the golf course where I grew up, basically in Texas. So he had just started there a couple of years ago, and so that was a really fun story last year for me. I didn't know Ben. You know, I've been long gone from that area for 20 years, but you know, all my family knew him, and those who played golf at Georgetown Country Club knew him well. So that was really cool to be able to see that. Now, he played great. You know, he played really well. He shot 67 on Saturday. So that was easy when these guys are playing well. But there is, you definitely are spending time on the 20 guys who made it, and then who's playing well among those 20, and any chance you have to show them, you're going to. So there are a couple of guys that I know when I was covering the Nationwide Tour back in the day. Jason Caron is a head pro now. I'm sure you know him. He's out here again. He was a former tour player, and you know, so he's an interesting guy. I think Alex Beach is a guy we would target because he won the PGA Professional Championship, so he was the medalist. So that's a guy that, you know, he's from Westchester Country Club, so he's a Met section guy. You know, I think those are the targets that you want to follow, guys who have maybe have some local interest, and then whoever plays well. Curran was the only one to make the cut last year at the PGA and didn't make it back in this year. But definitely we know who they are, where they are, and we, Turner, TNT, have packages, whether it be like a teaching moment or little vignettes that we'll use the PGA professionals for. So even if they're not playing well and they're struggling, we're going to have windows to show these guys that they're in the field, and let's go get a lesson from him. So we've done that throughout our history here. So we make sure we give them windows, you know, for sure during our 7-hour coverage, that we're going to have, you know, 90-second, 2-minute vignettes led by one of those guys, just to make sure that they get their time, and allows us to tell the story of the PGA. And obviously it's got its roots in the Met section in New York. I mean, it started in New York, so it's a really special time for them, and we want to tell their story properly as well.
Yeah, Ben and I played a practice round back in our mini tour escapades, and I remember we got done with the practice round. I wasn't really paying much attention to what everybody else was doing, and the guys were like shaking his hand and high-fiving him, and I'm like, what happened? And they're like, oh, he shot 61. That's the course record. And I was like, oh, sweet, nice. I'm out of my league here. I need to go find something else to do, because obviously that's dirty low.
Why he didn't want to do it. He loves that country club life, though, man. He's got his own logo going now. He's got all the members buying up all his gear. I mean, he's got a great racket going down in this little country club in Georgetown, Texas. You'd love it.
So, BA, I'm gonna let you go on this. We mentioned, you said Brooks is your favorite, the guy you think is going to win. I want you to give us just your bold prediction. Give me something that you think we'll see this week that maybe not everybody's talking about, and maybe what you could see as you're looking at this from 10,000 feet come Sunday afternoon. You know, who's probably going to raise that heavy trophy?
Well, I think we're going to see birdies, a lot of birdies. I do. I think it's going to feel and look differently than in the U.S. Opens here. That's my thought. I could be way off base, but I just feel like we're going to see a 12 to 16 under winner. I mentioned it earlier, but yes, Koepka is my favorite here again, but I really like Xander Schauffele, and I really think this could be a great week for him. You know, he's a guy that has just been trending really well. His last two U.S. Opens, he's finished top six. He finished second at the Open Championship last year. He was second at the Masters this year. I think his game is just totally ready to break through and win a major. And so, he's a young guy too, man. So I like him. I think I don't know him that well. You know, I spent a little time with him last year walking around. I just love his personality, and I love the way he handles his business. And he's got a cool name. It's fun for us to say, Xander Schauffele. So That's going to be my sleeper. If you need a sleeper, that would be it. But yeah, it's hard to bet against Brooks Koepka this week for me.
What's the commute? What's your Long Island commute? Is it over under 25 minutes right now?
Oh no, it's solid 20, and that's we're like 6 miles away. And it's a solid 25 minutes. And matter of fact, it takes longer for us to get from the hotel in Garden City to the golf course. It doesn't take as long, I'm sorry, to get from the hotel to the golf course than it does from the compound to the clubhouse. It's a solid 30-minute cart ride from the compound to the Bethpage clubhouse.
Yeah, you got to leave the suits up in the booth. I'm not messing with the dirty, dusty area.
Riding around New York, you know, in Nassau County with makeup on and a tie. I mean, that's just not gonna. Not gonna work.
They're gonna poke fun at you. Well, BA, we appreciate you jumping on. Good luck this week. I know it'll be a fun week. I know you always love it, and you do such a great job. I do want to know how long did it take you to fall asleep after the Lillard call? I mean, were you able to fall asleep at any point that night?
No, that was a 3 a.m. or, you know, you're just, that's too hard to come down from. Mostly because you're paranoid, you know, the first hour until they put the highlights up, you're just like, what did I say? How did I call it? Did I screw it up? I hope I didn't screw it up. And then once you kind of listen to it, oh, it's good. But we just got trumped, you know, we had our whole, our group text message from our crew, and Kevin Harlan's call, Kawhi Leonard shot, you know, kind of, that's the leader in the clubhouse now. So we all sent Kevin Harlan a text and ripped his ass for stealing our moment, stealing our thunder. You know, it's always those guys, you know, like Kevin Harlan needs another great call.
That's right. Yeah. You just needed a few more bounces. You didn't need such a good shot. It needed to like go off the,
right.
off
I'm
the
saying
clock
Lillard
or something.
Was a better shot. I mean, it actually went right through the middle of the hoop. It didn't. I mean, Kawhi's was like not perfect, you know?
Oh man, so, what a run.
It was awesome.
What a playoff run. Well, good luck this week, BA. We appreciate you jumping on, man.
Thank you, man. Thanks, Shane.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole.
Big thanks to BA for jumping on. Obviously a big week and a busy week, so kind of him to give us a little bit of his time. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Make sure you follow him on Twitter and follow along the coverage this week as TNT has their last PGA Championship, at least for the near future. It's gonna switch over in 2020. Thanks so much for following along. Thanks so much to Titleist. Make sure you check out Vokey. The new Vokey design wedges are beautiful, and get fit for them. I know getting fit is something you think is for drivers only or for irons. Getting fit for your wedges, it helps so much depending on what part of the country you play at, what type of golf course you play on. If you go get the right grind, it will, simply put, make you a better golfer. That is a Shane Bacon guarantee. You're going to be a better golfer with the right Vokies in your bag. Check those out, and we will catch back up with you. Probably not going to have a PGA recap. As I mentioned, I'll be traveling. I'll be rushing to the Raleigh airport to get to Dallas to play in the sectional qualifying on Monday there in DFW. So probably we'll have something Tuesday or Wednesday, a little like we did with Sir Nick Faldo, where we just kind of take a look back at the PGA after the dust settles a little bit. But thanks so much for listening and subscribing, and we will check back with you next week.